When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose. By people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
And with us on the line now is Ian Moore. He's a best-selling author, stand-up comedian and chutney maker. His new book, C'est la vie, are the adventures of an English grump in rural France. He chronicles the charming and chaotic escapades of his family and their eccentric assembly of animals on their continuous search for serenity in rural France. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Hi, Anna. Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Oh, nice to have you with us. So how long have you been in France for?
20 years now. January 2005, we moved in. We moved in on my wife and my son's birthday, January the 4th, 2005. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's just flown by, you know. I just can't believe it's 20 years already.
Yeah. And has a lot changed in that time, both in your life and also where you've lived?
What hasn't changed? Yes, I mean massively. And I think the biggest thing that changes is obviously. I mean, it was just my wife and our young son at the time when we moved here. We've now got three grown up boys and. I think what changes most is your expectations of life, because it was really interesting there where you said in the continual search for peace. I think it'd be easier to go hunting for the Holy Grail, to be perfectly honest with you, because peace, I'm not sure peace exists.
Amazing. So where exactly are you in France then? Describe it to us.
We're in the Loire Valley, right in the middle of France. So it's a very agricultural, it's very wine growing. The small town, which is 3 kilometres down the road, is a place called Selles-sur-Cher, and that's famous for its goat's cheese. It's a world famous, award winning goat's cheese.
Oh, so lovely!
There's a lot of goat's cheese going on around here. If you don't eat the goat's cheese, they'd probably deport you. I would have thought.
Goat's cheese and wine. It sounds great.
And isn't that what everybody just needs? Just a bit of goat's cheese and wine, and I think the world would be a happier place. That's all we need.
So is it noisy then, despite being in the countryside? Is it quite mad then?
No, well, there's no noise as such, apart from my wife who's actually mowing the lawn at the moment because I've got media commitments, so I said I couldn't do it. There's not a lot of noise as such, and there's no light pollution. It's just that the day It just never stops. You know, like the book says, we've got goats and horse and cats and dogs and hens and it's like a merry-go-round, a revolving door policy of various types of animal learning difficulties. So it's just a mad, mad world. And then you contrast that with a relatively sane world of being a stand-up comedian. You know, I mean, I go and do perform stand-up just so I can have a rest.
Did you say the animals have learning difficulties?
They're all nuts. They're all nuts in their own various ways. And because they're all rescue animals. So they've all, each one of them have posed a problem to to some previous owner. And we've ended up with them. So do you remember the children's show Biker Grove, where there was lots of kids who had nowhere else to go, so it caused trouble? Well, we've got the animal equivalent of Biker Grove, I reckon. The goats are just crazy.
You must be constantly clearing up poo.
I draw the line at that. That's my wife's
her job.
That is, you know, we have to. There has to be proper lines of what is responsibility and what is not my responsibility. And I said, look, if you want to keep introducing these animals whenever I turn my back, then you have to take some of the responsibility of poo collection.
You've got a mowing the lawn.
Well, you know, outside is her domain. I look after all the cooking and the inside and the ironing and stuff.
Done.
It's all beautifully divided. When I'm here, obviously. When I'm not here, it's really none of my business.
And what about I know you say the kids have grown up now, but were they involved with the animals and helping out?
Well, yes, because because they'd all gang up on me when I made it clear that, you know, we were full up. We have literally no more room for any animals. They would all four of them just vote me off the board kind of thing. there was a time, this shows how mad it got. There was at one point where Natalie, my wife, had found some baby rabbits that had been abandoned by their mum, but she'd also found some cats at the same time, and that's not a good mix. so there was carnage involved there, and we were just all standing in the wood stall going, well, what, you know, you can't introduce your own kind of food chain, otherwise it will be chaos. And then one of the cats just wandered back into the kind of middle of our group with a lizard's tail. It had attacked a lizard and taken the tail off the lizard. And when you take a tail off a lizard, the lizards keep the tail keeps going. So this lizard's tail was doing this kind of furious dance. And one of my sons said, "Oh, can we keep it?" So that'll give you an idea of just how insane it can be.
And you started a writing school. Tell us about that.
It was, being on the road every weekend, as I used to be, it just takes its toll. And I wanted to be at home more because I was missing the children growing up. So we tried to, we always said, because we'd sort of bought a big place, because it's, you know, it's peanuts, property is peanuts around here. But we bought a big place, but we'd make it pay for itself. So we came up with the idea of a writing school, and we'd get, authors in to teach small writing groups, holiday groups, you know. And it was a spectacular failure. Nobody, not one inquiry. You know, I'd set up a website, we'd invested in it, I had publicity, spent a lot of money on publicity in writing magazines and so on. Not one inquiry.
Wow,
the only time the email was ever used was me testing to see if the email was working.
Why do you think that is?
I don't. Maybe they'd heard of the goats. I've no idea. I've no idea why that is. It was just one of those utterly bizarre things. So we changed that, and we opened a B&B, a bed and breakfast, instead.
Has that done a bit better?
Well, yeah, but it was. We were victims of our own success there, because I hated it. And because I think over 20 years of being a stand-up comedian, doesn't teach you how to be polite in hospitality.
Yes, you were saying you were thinking then.
Yes, yeah, I've made a few enemies, and so what happened was actually that's when I started writing the crime books. Death and Croissant was the first one that came out, and that's about a middle-aged Englishman who runs a B&B in rural France, and his guests disappear and die off. So it was my kind of cathartic way of dealing with the whole situation.
Brilliant! Your sick fantasy about what you'd really like to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Because apparently if you actually do kill your guests, your TripAdvisor rating just goes through the floor.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I decided that wouldn't be a very popular idea.
I love the title, Death and Croissants.
It's a bestseller. So, I mean, I think people really got on board with that. Yeah.
Yeah, nice one. So tell us about that. There's a couple of people that you talk about in the book. I want to know about the Christmas Pudding Man.
It's just bizarre. We got a knock on the door, or the bell on the gate rang, and this guy said, "I want a Christmas pudding." I'm like, you know, I was kind of looking around for secret cameras, going, "Why? What do you want? It's June for a start, What do you think I do? Why? That's not my thing. I don't do Christmas pudding." And he'd been to England once years before, and he'd had a Christmas pudding, and he absolutely fell in love with them. And so he'd heard there were no other expats or English in the area, so he'd heard that there was an Englishman living here. So he decided to track me down in the hope that I would import some Christmas puddings for him next time I went on gigs. And I did for a couple of times until he became really, he wouldn't let us go. He'd be around every few weeks going, "I've run out of Christmas pudding."
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was like some terrible drug deal that had gone wrong. I'd got him hooked and I couldn't supply him.
Brilliant. And what about the Sicilian faith healer?
Oh, he was just frightening. I had, because of all the travel, I had quite bad back problems. And so our next door neighbour, bless her, she's no longer around. She was in her 90s, and she suggested this faith healer who lived nearby. I knew it was a bad idea because even she was bent double as she was. She was almost at a right angle. So he clearly didn't know his job. But I went to this faith healer, and he was like Luca Brasi in The Godfather. He was this enormous man, and he just stared you. It looked really, really bright blue eyes, and he'd just stare into your eyes and just start rubbing your shoulder. And you didn't, honestly, I felt like it was a mob hit. I thought that I wasn't going to get out of there alive. It was terrifying.
And he didn't sort your back out, I assume.
No, absolutely not. No, he just took my money. So it definitely was a mafia thing. He just took my money and left.
And what about the hunters, threatening hunters?
Oh, that was quite unpleasant, actually. We had there was one day they were shooting too close to the house, and there are rules about how close you shoot to the house. Mm. And they shot a grouse or something, and it landed in the garden, and that's just too close. And I was out at the time, and I came back, and my wife told me about it, and the kids, you know, obviously it was pretty unpleasant. And it was a neighbour, the farmer who lived about 100 metres down the road. And I said, "Well, we're not having this. So I went steaming round to their house. But my French was no good at the time. So again, I was just kind of like trying to prepare. I was trying to go through my French vocab for falling out with neighbours because a grouse has landed in your garden. And that kind of thing was never in the textbooks French in school. So I was just, by the time I got to his house, I was just a gibbering wreck because I couldn't think of what to say. And he disappeared anyway. His wife had said, "Oh no, he's gone. He won't be back for days." So he'd clearly gone on the run. Terrified by my lack of vocabulary.
Yes, it's really difficult to get angry in a language when you don't speak it. You end up
really
feeling like a fool really quickly.
Exactly. And when you're largely your job, your living is about talking and reacting very quickly. You've really kind of punctured your own mood by the time 20 minutes later you've got a sentence out. So it certainly encouraged me to learn the language anyway.
Yeah. So what made you write this book? Because I know you've written another couple of books before about your life in France. What propelled this one?
Well, it was a very cathartic thing for me, because the book writing, I always said I wouldn't be that bloke. I wouldn't be that bloke who'd move to another country and write about his family. You know, I thought, you know, that's been done. And to be honest, I did last about 5 years before I started. But there's just so much going on. And one way that I could process it was to write it down. And a lot of it became stage material as well. Which was great, because I mean there aren't many stand-ups on the UK national circuit doing routines about goats and chutney, so I had a kind of unique angle, and it just worked well as a story, you know, because a lot of the books, and I remember one publisher turned me down, turned the idea for the book down, because he said, well, you know, we want to sell a happy story, and I said, well, you've got to be realistic. You know, this is all true. And in fact, a friend of mine put together a sitcom based on the books about me living in France and being on the road as a stand-up. And one production company, a TV channel, got back to us and said, it's very funny, but it's just not realistic. What do you mean? That's my life. It's not realistic.
Nice. And what would or do you say to people if they say, oh, I'd quite like to live in France myself? What would you recommend it?
Don't live anywhere near me, is what I say. Make sure that you don't collect animals the way we have. You've just got to be prepared. It's one of those things where you go on holiday and then go, well, I could live here. Mm. You know, you're not living on holiday all the time, are you? You are taking your life and whatever hang-ups you had with it away with you. So you've just got to make sure that you really want to do it. You know, because it's really hard. It is really hard. We sold up. We have nothing in the UK. Mm. You know, and we'd left all our friends, most of the family behind as well. It's quite a break.
Yeah, I mean,
some of that's a good idea.
And can you see yourself staying there forever, or do you think, oh, at a certain age, we're going to go back to the UK, or have you talked about going somewhere different, or?
No, we're staying here. I'm French now. I've got French nationality.
Because, oh, nice.
Yeah, I had to do it because it just made it easier with all the travel to have, you know, a UK passport for going into the UK and a French passport for coming back into France.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like James Bond, because I have more than one passport now, and I can decide at the border which one I want to use. So,
and it also enables you to get angry with people in their language.
Absolutely,
so that's good.
Absolutely right. Yes, because that's the first thing you have to do is pass a language test. Mm. And we were filling out the forms to take the language test, and my wife actually said, "Shall we put you down as a mute?" Which didn't show a striking amount of confidence in my language ability.
Well, you did it, so well done.
I did,
you
yes.
passed. Brilliant. Well, if people want to get a copy of C'est la vie, Adventures of an English Grump in Rural France, it's out now. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Ian Moore, who we've been chatting with. Ian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah. Thanks a lot.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.